Where's the leader of Bani Hudayn? They pointed to him, he's sitting among these women, says, what do you want? He said, I hear you're gathering your army to go attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I want to join you. By the way, lying in these matters of harb is permissible in Islam. It's permissible because war is trickery. So he told them, I want to join you. He said, okay. He sat with them, he told his women, disperse so we can talk. And they began to talk. As they were talking, he, of course, he didn't have nothing but a small knife with him, hidden with him. He said, I took the knife and I began to keep poking him and killing him. And he began shouting, and all that was there was women yelling. They couldn't do nothing. And I kept killing him and killing him. I ran back to Medina. When I get back to the border of Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aflaha wajhak. Meaning your face become bright, or success to you, or success to your face. A dua from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him. He made the dua back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet embraced him and became one of the heroes of the Muslims. The days went on. A lot of other small tribes tried to attack the Prophet, and every time they try to attack, he puts an end to it before they start. He doesn't wait in Medina. He goes to them as soon as he hears of them. He goes and attacks them. One Amir ibn Malik from Bani Amir came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was probably one of the most devastating. All I'm telling you now is minor things that happened between the battle of Badr and the huge battle that's to come, Al-Ahzab, the battle of the coalition, the battle of the Khandaq. These are all minor things that happened in between. So Bani Amir came to the Prophet. Amir ibn Malik comes to the Prophet. The Prophet, of course, gives him da'wah. He talks to him about Islam. Amir ibn Malik doesn't like what he doesn't show interest in it. He's hesitant. He says, what if you want? I'm not going to break Islam. What if you want to send with me people who teach in my tribe? I'll let you come. He said, but all the tribes with you and around you are seeking revenge from us. Amir ibn Malik, he said, they are under my refuge. And usually the Arabs, when they give refuge to someone, I give refuge to this person, no one touches him. He walks freely. They want him dead. They want him apprehended. If our Arabic leader, or this was the rule of the tribe, if someone says, I give refuge to him, that's it. No one touches him. This was the rule to everyone except to the Muslims. You know, the rules and the laws always apply to everyone all the time except to the Muslims. In this time, you know, they broke all the laws. You know, when they declared war on Islam in this country a few months ago, every rule that they had in the book of due process was bound for the Muslims. No, you're Muslim, you have no rules. There's no rules. They can do anything they want. No due process. They can put you in prison and forget about you. This is in this country, not alone any other country. This is what Abu Jahl did. Abu Jahl would never refuse to look in his time at a woman. You know, a woman wouldn't look. This was the honor of the Arabs back then. Not Islamically, but traditionally. But when it came to Islam, he stabbed Sumayya radiallahu anha in an unmentionable place. Why? Because the rules never applied. The Arabs there used to, when someone came from outside, be the most generous, even if he's their enemy. You know, to go to a decent Arabic person who knows the tradition of the Arabic people, and you killed his father, and you go to his house, knock on his door, what does he do? You say, welcome you in. This is the rules of the Arabic people. When it came to Islam, Muslim, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. We don't forgive. It's the opposite. When Abu Jahl and the leaders of Abu Sufyan and Abu Lahab and the leaders of Quraysh, they used to welcome in their enemies when they came for Hajj, when they used to welcome people and used to brag and fight with each other, who's going to give them more? Who is going to stay with? They went to the Muslims and took them and put them in a valley and starved them from food and water and everything. In fact, when Khadija radiallahu anha in the valley used to want food come to her from her own wealth, they stopped her. Khadija's servants tell her, this is from her own wealth. But she bought it from her wealth. No, it can't go to her. Until they ate trees from the leaves from the trees, and Khadija ended up dying from what she went through in the valley. So the rules apply to everyone. They have certain rules or traditions that apply to anyone. But when you're Muslim, there's no rules. That's why Islam has to be supreme by power. Whatever you have to be, like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, Islam has two pillars, Quran in one hand and power in the other hand. You can't take one and not the other. You can't take Quran, this is going to give me protection. No. Inshallah, going to give you protection, but you have to do by reason. You got to go by reason and have power, physical power.
both combined together, give Islam supremacy. You can't throw your health, yourself on the hands of the kuffar and expect them to give you your rights. Never. In fact, one of the lessons Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُطِيعُوا, about this battle. Not a lesson. I mean, if I talk about just the battle and the lessons learned from the mistakes of this battle, it'll go on for weeks. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُطِيعُوا إِن تُطِيعُوا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَرُدُّوكُمْ بَعْدَ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. You know, when they started hearing that the kuffar said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, and just because they believe that, Allah says, don't take them as your loyalty. Don't listen to them. If you listen to the kafir, إِن تُطِيعُوا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَرُدُّوكُمْ, they turn you on your heels as losers. بَلِ اللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ, Allah's your resort. Allah is the one you return to. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ النَّاطِرِينَ, and He's the best one who's the one to give victory. سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ, Allah goes on to talk about what happened to them. So they go, Bani Amr greet the Muslim. The Amr ibn Malik's tribe greets 40 memorizers of the Quran. Memorizers of the Quran and fuqaha in Islam who begin to teach the people. And they begin to teach and they stay there. His cousin in a nearby tribe, oh, this is Bani Amr. But another fraction, Amr ibn Tufay, hears about it. He says, we got 40 here of the men we want to kill. This opportunity. They sought refuge there. Amr ibn Malik declared it. I have refuge over these people. He was sincere. He wasn't a Muslim, but he was sincere in giving them refuge. And they went. 38 people sitting, and as they were teaching and reciting Quran, Amr ibn Tufay, his cousin, comes with an army that he gathered all the tribes. Not just, it wasn't just one tribe to say, oh, one tribe broke the north. He gathered all the tribes. He said, Muslim? They're Muslim. That's enough. Muhammad's men. That's enough. All of them gather in a coalition. The whole tribe, except Amr, who wasn't aware of what's going on. He wasn't around. And two other of the Sahaba, who were, you know, the Sahaba, when they went da'wah, they didn't go begging people, and they wouldn't take them, the people. You know what they did? They went, you know, taking out the sheep that they ate from. Two of the Sahaba went to take them out in the outskirts of the town to feed them. So they went on these 38 and killed them all. 38. This was one of the devastating things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the most devastating things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, we call it the devastation of Bi'r, what's it, Muja'a. It's called, they had a big well. It's something, Muja'a or Wuja'a, that they had the well around them of Bani Amr. So the news gets to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was devastating to him. But he didn't know that two people survived. Two people were survived. He said, there's the birds, again, the birds that come and eat the flesh. He said, these birds don't go there for nothing. How come they're heading there? They got 38 flesh to eat, 38 souls and bodies to eat. So they looked from on top of the mountain, from far away, and Amr ibn Umayyah, one of them tells his friend, what do we do? His friend tells him, I'm going down there. He says, I can't leave my friends like this and stay here. One man versus the whole tribe, they kill him. And his friend joins with him, they apprehend him. And it just so happened that Amr ibn Tufayl tells Amr ibn Umayyah. Amr ibn Umayyah is a Muslim. Amr ibn Tufayl is the one who led this. Amr ibn Tufayl tells Amr ibn Umayyah, you're from a certain tribe. My mother had made commitment that she free a slave from that tribe. And he wanted to honor his mother's commitment, subhanAllah. And this tribe never had any slaves. So he shaved his hair off to make him as loyal as a slave, and he said, you're free to go in honor of the commitment my mother gave. On his way back, he found two people from a tribe, thinking they're from Bani Amr. He killed them. And he went, kept going to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he got to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet, look how they treat our blood. Look how the Prophet cherishes their blood. Those two who killed mistakenly, he said, we gotta pay them their ransom. We gotta pay them. He killed them by mistake. Whatever Islam orders us to pay, we gotta pay them. So he went to Bani Nadir, a tribe on the outskirts. What kind of tribe is it? Jewish tribe. On the outskirts of Medina, the Prophet had a treaty with them. Among the clauses of the treaty, if Bani Nadir killed someone by mistake, the Prophet helps them. And if the Prophet kills someone by mistake, they help in the ransom, in the money that they have to pay. And this was, so the Prophet said, we got two to pay the diyah. It's called diyah in Islam. We go to Bani Nadir to ask them.
And he went to Bani Nadir. He said, we have two to pay their dia. We met with the leaders of Bani Nadir. They said, Abul Qasim will give you what you want. Call him Abul Qasim. What you want, we give you. You just stay here. And then when they went outside, he said, this is the best opportunity to kill him. This is the Jews. Conspiracy. On one side, they tell you, you know, just wait, Abul Qasim. We're going to come back with the money. Outside, they said, this is the best time to kill him. Take something. The Prophet was sitting in an area like this where there was something behind it. He said, take something from behind him, look around him, and crush his skull. And then the Jibreel comes down with the message to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're conspiring to kill you. Move out. Move out of there. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes Abu Bakr and Umar and the Sahaba who are with him and immediately goes back to Medina. He sends them a letter. Bani Nadir, you gotta leave out of there. You broke the treaty, you gotta leave. And before that, remember we said, Bani Qaynuqa, why did he oust them? Because they mocked a woman. You know, I'll tell you, the Jews never can carry a treaty. Allah said it. Practice of history says it, and it's always going to happen. Look, Bani Qaynuqa, they killed the Sahabi, and they mocked a woman. The Prophet had to oust them. They had a treaty with them. And Bani Nadir, the same exact, these were tribes around Medina. The Prophet had peace treaty with them. Bani Nadir, also the same thing. They broke the treaty, trying to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was one tribe left, they also breached the treaty. Bani al-Mustalik. You're going to see in Ghazwat al-Ahzab how Bani al-Mustalik breached that treaty. The three tribes, three treaties. In fact, Bani al-Mustalik, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the Battle of Ahzab, said, are you going to betray us or not? You know they're going to betray us. They said, no way. We're with you. We're not going to let no one come from this area. He said, okay, and they swore by their lords and by their Bibles and by their holy men, no one's going to come from their side. Yeah, they ended up preaching. Three tribes, this is Allah said, فَبِمَا نَسْلِي مِتَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّهُمْ. This is a practice, the continuous practice of them. So they break the treaty, the Prophet sent them a letter, you got to be ousted. You got to get out of here. No room for you to stay around us. You're a threat to us. You got to get out. He said, okay, we'll leave. The hypocrites come. I told you before, the hypocrites always play a big role. The hypocrites. They sent him, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salud sends him a letter. He says, where are you going? We're going to defend you. If you fight, we're going to fight with you. If they oust you, we're going to be... The hypocrite. This is a man who supposedly in Friday khutbah used to go up to the Prophet and said, Wallahi, you're the messenger of Allah. You're Allah. You get up, the Sahaba, sit down, don't embarrass yourself. And you know what he does to embarrass, in addition to embarrass himself? He stands outside of the khutbah, outside the masjid. He says, look what the Sahaba are doing. I tell him he's the Prophet of Allah. And they say, go embarrass yourself and sit down. He's embarrassed. They said, we already know what the things you do. You're a hypocrite. The Prophet told us to be patient with you as long as you live amongst us. That we don't want to kill you. You're a hypocrite. And what he did, he sent Bani Nadir a letter. He said, if they fight you, I'm going to fight with you. He said, he wants to fight with them. And if they ask you, I'm leaving with you. Me and my men. I got some of 2,000 well-equipped men. Liar. You're going to see how Allah sent. In this minor battle, or not minor confrontation, Allah revealed the whole surah in the Quran in its name. Ibn Abbas used to call Surah Al-Hashr, Surah Bani Nadir. Because all of it, from beginning to end, was talking about Bani Nadir. And the hypocrites who played a role in it. So, when they got the letter, they felt confident. They said, okay, that's good. We can stay here. We got Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul as a backup for us. We're going to stay here. And they stayed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an army and put the blind man Abdullah ibn Umi Maktoum as a leader of Medina and headed to them. And as you know, the Jews, when they used to have any area they lived in, they used to surround it very heavily. Even when they weren't fearing of nothing. They're always cowards. You know, like now, when they go in the towns of Palestine, where the kids of Palestine have stones. They go in military, what do they call it? In military tanks, they refuse to come out of the tanks. They refuse to come out of the tanks unless they hide behind them in an area they know behind them is secure. That's why they go in tanks. They could take cars and military buses or something to take these masses of soldiers. But no, they go in military tanks. Fear. They're cowards, but we're more cowards than they are. When we left Islam, we're more cowards than they are. Yeah, Allah said they're cowards. And Allah said in Surah Al-Hashr, they're cowards. They're always cowards. But when you leave Islam, you're going to be more cowardly than they are. Now listen to us. So when you went there, the Prophet ﷺ began to take down their trees. First thing he started. You know something they do to us today? When they enter town today, the first thing they do, if you see, on the news, they start pulling out the trees in revenge for what Muhammad ﷺ did. They, the Prophet ﷺ began pulling out their trees because some scholars say he did it to put them in misery because Jews love wealth. And this was their wealth. You know, today, the wealth is probably gold and silver. Back then, the wealth was counted by how many trees you own, how big your farm is. And he began taking them down by the wealth. When he began taking them down by their wealth and surrounding them, he said, why are you doing this, Muhammad? You're the one who says that causing harm on this earth is bad. And the Prophet ﷺ continued doing that. He said, okay, what do you want? He said, 6 days to get out of next to Medina. Allah placed there in the, although, as I mentioned, the Jews in the surrounding tribes, what did they do? I said this before. What was their business? What was their business? Huh? What? Metal. That was their business. They're the ones who made swords, they made shields. That's why when they fought battles, they were from head to toe in metal. And when Quraysh or the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ wanted to buy it, they would go to them and buy it, by the metal, because they were the ones well equipped. So they gave them 6 days to leave Medina. And being the people they are, when they left Medina, they brought someone to sing for them, like it was a victory for them. And they were ousted in as low people out of Medina. Who knows where they were ousted to? Why did Allah call the surah Surah Al-Hashr? It has nothing to do about the judgment day. Al-Hashr means the judgment day. Why did Allah call their surah the surah of the Hashr, of the judgment day? Do you know, Yusuf? This one is a genius. Allah is talking, the whole surah is talking about them. Yet the name of the surah, and as you know, if you come to our tafsir, we said the names of the surah are chosen for a specific reason. We mentioned them in tafsir. Why does Allah talk about Surah Al-Hashr name? A surah about Bani Nadir, Surah Al-Hashr. It was only Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh that used to call it Bani Nadir. All the rest of the Sahaba call it Al-Hashr. If you open the Quran right now, you're going to find it Surah Al-Hashr. The reason it's called Surah Al-Hashr is because Allah ousted them from Medina to the awwal Al-Hashr. The land of the Hashr. What's the land of the Hashr? The land of Syria and Palestine and all those. The land of the Hashr, when everyone gathers moments before the judgment day comes, is going to be gathered in the land of what before that you call Syria or Bilad al-Sham. Bilad al-Sham is Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine. All that land over there is called Bilad al-Sham. That's the land that's called Bilad al-Hashr. The Sahaba, when they said, read this verse, they said, whoever doesn't believe that Bilad al-Sham, Jordan, Palestine, and Syria is Bilad al-Hashr, let him read this verse. Because Allah says, سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Praise to Allah, the Lord of the sky, the earth, the supreme. هو الذي أخرج الذين كفروا. He is the one who ousted the disbeliever من أهل الكتاب, from the people of the book, من أهل الكتاب من ديارهم, from their homes, لأول الحشر, to the beginning of the land of the mahshar. ما ظننتم أن يخرجوا. When the Sahaba will ask to fight them, ما ظننتم. Allah says, you never thought they're going to leave. It's not, it's going to be a fierce battle. They didn't know it's going to be this easy. 6 days and they're out. Allah goes on to say, ما ظننتم أن يخرجوا وظنوا أنهم مانعتهم حصونهم من الله. Their big palaces, the way they were secured, they had long walls. You could never get into that wall. Around the whole village where they lived in. Around the entire village. If you go to Medina now, you find parts of that over there. Still till today. Look how long ago it was. Look how secure they built it. It lasted for, parts of it lasted for 14 centuries. That's how secure it was. And also, they used to secure themselves and hide behind with the trees over there. They fought all that. Allah says, this is all in the Quran. This is not all in the history books only. This is in the Quran. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَةٌ حُصُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا. Allah hit them from where they never perceived it. This is the key. This is the key. When the Sahaba went to fight these well-equipped, well-trained men, they thought it's going to be a defeat. They thought there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. They put the fear of Allah between their eyes and they headed following the command. Allah hid them from where they never perceived it, and this is what's going to liberate Palestine. you put the fear of Allah between your eyes and you obey the commands of Allah, you're going to liberate Spain, and you're going to liberate Kashmir, and you're going to liberate Palestine, you're going to liberate every single land that was taken away from us. This is the key to it. You know, you think, Allah, brother, they're going to kill a lot of us if we do. Look what happened. The Sahaba to Allah says, مَا بَنَنْتُمْ. You never know it's going to be this easy. And يَخْرُجُ. You never even thought, even after the battle, that they're going to leave. They thought they're going to fight the battle, a lot of bloodshed, and go back. مَا بَنَنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْرُجُ. And they thought that the surrounding, the walls around them, are going to stop them from coming in. فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا. Allah hit them from that which you never expected. What was that, oh Allah, that they never expected? Terrorize in their hearts. Fear in their hearts. The only thing Allah can put it in. Not a single bloodshed from the Muslim. Not a single bloodshed. In peace, they asked them. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَاتَعَتْ فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبُ. Put fear in their hearts. يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ. He said to the Prophet, before the Prophet, when he gave them the earlier warning, he said, take whatever you want. Just leave. The first warning. When they listened to Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, and they made the army come out of Medina, and he gave them 6 days, you know what happened? He said, all you do, you take what you want of your wealth, but you leave all the military. Everything. That became for the Muslims. You're not going to take a single piece of metal with you. You know what they did? The losers. You know what they did? They began taking down the windows of their houses. Wallahi. The windows of their houses. The doors of their houses. Anything they could get off their houses. That's how cheap they are. And they began to take it and put it on about 600 camels or in horses and take it with them. Allah says, يُخْرِبُونَ. They destroy their own houses with their own hands. You didn't have to do that with Muslims. They did it themselves. يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِهِمْ وَأَيْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا فُرْعَى. Learn a lesson, all you people with a mind. That's how victory comes. People thought there was going to be death to them. They went following the command, Allah changed that into terror in their hearts and a defeat for them. وَلَوْلَا أَنْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْجَلَاءِ. Allah says, had Allah not ousted them, and had it not been for Allah ousting them, لَعَذَّبَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. It would have been a torment for them in this life. How would have been a torment in this life? The Sahaba described that it would have been very bloody for them in a battle that you would have had with them. لَعَذَّبَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابُ النَّارِ. And in the judgment day they got hellfire awaiting for them. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. That's because they went and rebelled against Allah and His Messenger. Whomever rebels on Allah, Allah is the severe punisher. مَا قَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ لِينَ. The Sahaba began to tell each other, when they were chopping the trees down of them, they chopped a lot of trees down to destroy their wealth, to melt, and to put terror in them. When they were chopping their trees down, some of the Sahaba said, are you sure what we're doing is right? Because the Prophet ﷺ before had ordered never to cut a tree. But when it comes to military, in this kind of manner, and it's for the benefit of the Muslim, you can do that. You can do that and more. Whatever they do to us, we have the right to do to them and more. وَإِنْ عَقَبْتُمْ فَعَقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عَقَبْتُمْ بِهِ. If you're oppressed, retaliate on them like they retaliate on you. He took down the trees, although in other, you know, someone can tell us, but the Prophet ﷺ, you know, the modern, they say, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't kill women and children. He also said, don't chop down trees if you enter town. Why did he do this in this manner? Why did he do it? Because it was for the benefit of the Muslims. If the Muslims fear and show that invading a land must go through kids or women, let it be so. We have a lot of fatwas by other scholars who said it's possible. In fact, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, one time when the Mongolians fought, they put a whole line of Muslims. You know, one of the last things you could do is kill a Muslim. If you're in a prison and they tell you curse Allah, you curse Allah. If you're under torture. They tell you curse the Prophet Muhammad, you curse the Prophet Muhammad. You tell you kill this Muslim next to you, tell them no. You can't do that. You gotta kill me before I kill this Muslim. You can't do that. They brought a whole line in front of them, Mongolians, chained up of Muslim prisoners, and they said you gotta go through these. The Ibn Taymiyyah said, go and aim for the non-Muslim, but if it kills the Muslim, then inshallah they're gonna be martyrs. When it's jihad, the rules change. The rules change. When the Prophet ﷺ was fighting Taif, the mountain, he had a battle over there. And they were throwing at him with cannons. They were throwing at cannons, putting cannons in there and shooting them in the mountain. And these are cannon fireballs. The Sahaba said, oh Prophet, you may burn down houses that have kids in them. You know what the Prophet said? What did the Prophet say? they're from them. So, you know, don't listen to the minors. The rules change in the battlefield. The prophet, at a point, deterred from chopping trees down. Now, he says, yes, chop them down. He orders them. Allah approves it in the Quran. Yeah, he prior to that, if you can go by without killing kids and children, not be a defeatist while they occupy our land. And they're sitting in our houses. Wallahi al-Azim. They're sitting in our houses, in our towns, in our land, and we got caught and say, oh, you guys don't do nothing over there because there's children. They're in our houses, they're on our land, and they're in our property, and you got some defeated scholars who say, well, those are children. If it was on the offensive, be a different story. Not only the righteous scholars, the non-fearful, but to Allah, are the ones who know which category to place the hadith in, and which category not to. So Allah says, مَا قَطَعْتُم مِّن لِينَ. Whatever you cut from a tree, or leave, أَوْ تَرَكْتُهُمَا قَائِمَةً عَلَى أُصُولِهَا فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. It's by the will of Allah, وَلِيُخْذِيَ الْفَاتِقِينَ. In embarrassment to the Jews. Embarrassment to those who are astray. مَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ. Allah then mentions of how the income of that, because there was great wealth that came out of that military, that was great. Allah then described, but did we take Bani Nadir by power or by peace? There was no fighting. There was no fighting. If there's fighting, what is it called that we take the booty? Everything is rules in this. Islamic rules are detailed. If we fight them, what, and we get some of their camels and their horses and their gold and their silver and their jewelry and even their women. If we get that, what is it called in Islam? Ghanaim. It's called ghanima. It's called al-ghanima, Surah al-Anfal. Allah talks about it. But over here, when you open it and there's no fighting that went on, it's called faith. Faith. Allah talks about the faith in the Quran and in this surah, how we should be distributed. We know the ghanaim must be distributed five ways. Over here, the faith, Allah describes that it should be going to the poor people, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the authority to distribute it as he wants to have time. 10 minutes. And then Allah goes on to talk, after he talks about the poor people who should be going to كي لا يكون دولة بين الأغنياء منكم. So there will not be, you know, distinguished categories between the poor and the rich, that Allah ordered this be gone to the poor. وما أتاكم الرسول فخذوه. Whatever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gives, you take it. This is both literally and like in physical giving. So if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he gives you wealth or whatever, don't say I don't want to take it. Take it. It also means the other way. If the Prophet ﷺ orders you a command and he tells you to take this command, you take that command. That's why Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he used to talk about the women who, what is it called when they do their eyes? They make a straight line out of their eyes? They plick it all the way, make a straight line. Something else. When women do that, it's haram in Islam. They make a tiny little line of their eyes. And that's haram in Islam. So a woman came to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and said, why were you get this from? You say Allah said it. He read, began to read, he said, did you hear this verse? وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوهُ. Whatever the Prophet gives you, you take it, and whatever he deters you from, you refuse it. And this is proof that we must take the sunnah. So he said, Allah said this. That means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah curse a woman who does that. In Arabic it's called the namisa. It's when a woman only makes a straight line or makes her eyebrows very small. Eyebrows. Yeah. They make it a line. Very thin, yes. What is it called? No, has a name. Then, time for that? Okay. Jazakum Allah khair, inshallah. We'll see you next week. So, wallah, I don't know. You know? I don't know what happened to them. If the Prophet ﷺ sent someone to bury them, Allahu alam. Oh, the tribe, in retaliation, I don't think nothing was done. There was no battle between Bani Amr and the Prophet ﷺ until Ghazwat al-Ahzab. Maybe that's the decisive thing between them. But in direct retaliation, they were probably too strong. The Prophet ﷺ thought from the wisdom to wait. Because there were many tribes who went against the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. جزاكم الله خير for attending. إن شاء الله we'll see you next week. Ask Allah to reward you all for coming. بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.